So the theme here obviously was underdog stories, comeback stories in sports, which is one of the reasons people like sports in the first place is the chance to overcome all odds and kind of, you know, when your back's against the wall, be able to win the big game. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I like sports so much. There's hundreds and hundreds of videos I could have shown. I just picked those. I could watch them all night because it's pretty cool to watch. In fact, right now, there's kind of a underdog story going on right now with Butler in the Final Four, which that last scene is actually filled at Butler's home stadium. And, you know, we know that's one reason people like March Madness so much is because the underdogs have a chance to win, and it's really cool. For me personally, when I go to, like, open gym, I will purposely try to get on a team that is, like, not favored. You guys ever do that? Like, I'll purposely get on a team that's, like, not the best players in the gym because, well, I want to have a chance to, like, overcome and, like, the competitor in me is, like, I want to have a chance to beat them even though they think they're better, that kind of thing, yeah. You do that? It's fun to do that. But the scenes that I showed you, the Giants and Patriots, Super Bowl 42, it's too bad Kirby's not here for that. The Patriots were 18-0, going for the perfect season. I think the Giants lost 5 or 6 games that year. No one was giving them any chance. Not only did they win, but they had that ridiculous last drive to win the game. It was phenomenal. Miracle on Ice, you guys know from the movie Miracle, the hockey team that won the Olympics and had no business even being on the same ice as the Soviets, and they won, and it was pretty cool. And then the scene from Hoosiers, it's a true story. I believe their name was the Milan Tigers. Really small school in Indiana. Bobby Plum was his name, not Jimmy Chitwood, but his name is Bobby Plum. And that's back when they didn't have class, so they didn't have 5A, 1A schools. So the little school beat every school in the state. Phenomenal, true story. So I picked those, but there's plenty that we could have watched. And we are going to watch one more at the very end of this. But the reason that I showed these videos, the reason we're having this discussion is because tonight, probably the main theme of this little retreat is the greatest comeback of all time. That's what we're talking about. And you may be surprised to know this, but Sports Illustrated several years ago published an article, and it was entitled Top 10 Comebacks of All Time. And it wasn't limited to just sports. There was like the comeback of Elvis was on there. I forget who else, some other celebrities on there. But the number one comeback of all time, Sports Illustrated, a non-religious publication, was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was not a joke. It wasn't like, oh, this is what some people think. This was like a publication. So pretty cool, kind of shocking, but completely true. And that's what we're talking about just for a few minutes. Gospel writers, they went into really great detail about not only did our God suffer, but he died, he was buried, he was gone. He was in the tomb. That was it. There's nothing more final than death. And the thing that was gone with him was their hopes and dreams. Imagine if you'd be with them and you were following him. You know, your dreams would be pretty much shattered. But then as some women were going to visit his grave, there was an angel there, and she said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" He wasn't in there anymore, and then, as you know the story, he begins appearing to well over 500 people in his resurrected body, completing the greatest comeback ever. Because if you think about what they did to him and how, you know, obviously no one would come back, a resurrected body, greatest comeback of all time. I know Ezra has, because I was his coach. We were on a comeback game one time. We weren't the underdogs, but we came back and won a game. It's pretty cool. I don't know if anybody else has been on a team before and came back, or maybe you were not favored to win some kind of whatever you're involved in and you ended up winning, and how it make you feel. Any examples? Are we all just a bunch of losers? Just kidding.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, that was the one. Anyone? How about rooting for a team? Huh? Yeah. Yeah? So you guys know, though, I mean, if you don't have an experience in itself, you know of at least teams and how great that would feel. What is the one common theme you think from a team that comes back? There's at least got to be one leader, doesn't there? I mean, maybe it's a senior, maybe it's somebody like the best player, and is like, we can win this game, and then people rally around them. I think it was 2 years ago, the NBA Finals. They weren't underdogs, really, but the Celtics, Paul Pierce, I think it was game one, he got hurt, was wheeled off the court, and he came back on, and his players were like, oh my gosh, and they just went nuts, and they like won the next four games, won the finals. So they're, what? Yeah, probably. NBA paid them to do that. But they, you know, you need a leader, you need someone to rally around. And if you think of the story of Christ that we're talking about, all these people that were following him, he gave them a reason to believe again, obviously, when he wasn't in the grave. And like we've talked about in past lessons, everyone said there was nobody in the grave anymore. So that's pretty cool. One of the themes we're also talking about is how life itself is all about things going wrong, things going right, kind of the mix of the two things. I know we make fun of this person sometimes, but Helen Keller, not Ultra. Helen Keller, yeah. Ultra one time had a great quote. He said, no. Helen Keller, when she learned how to talk, said this. She said, life is about suffering and the overcoming of that suffering. And she's probably number one sufferer, I would say, for people that have been alive and, you know, had to deal with not being able to see or hear and all that stuff. But the thing is, in life, obviously things go wrong. We don't get everything we want. There's crime. People die. People hurt each other. And one of the, I think, main points of Easter that people miss is that Jesus understands those things. Those things will happen. And it's about overcoming those things and turning them into joy and triumph. Like, hey, guess what? I'm not in the grave anymore. Triumph. Because there's, to me, there's no greater joy than knowing that death and disappointment will not have the final word in my life. You know, Jesus will have the final word. So, did you guys bring your Bibles? Yes?
No.
Get them real quick. And actually, I was going to use my phone Bible, but since I'm recording this lesson, I probably can't. So if I could borrow somebody's Bible. My phone. When you get your Bible, turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Hosanna. Matthew 16. It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 16, verse 21 is where we're starting. We're kind of backtracking a little bit because these two stories I'm going to share are actually before he dies, but they tie in. Is everyone there? Matthew 16, verse 21. And we're only going down to 23. Ready to follow along? And see, the title says Jesus predicts his death. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter, by the way, his best friend, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to his best friend Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." So imagine being the best friend of Jesus, and he says, "Hey, you're Satan right now." Basically, what was going on is Peter's like, "You know what? You have to die. They're going to try to kill you. I'm not going to let you. I'm your best friend. I'm going to kill them before they kill you." And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're doing. Because what's going to happen is going to be for your good. You just don't know it yet." Hello. Hello, little bug. So the reason I shared this is because... Get away from me. The reason I shared this is because we have a lot of things in our life that we want right away. Kind of like Peter did. Like, this isn't going to happen. And he believed that he was kind of fitting into God's will. And then later on, Jesus said, "You'll eventually know why this has to happen. You may not know now, but you eventually will." And the next one I want to read was in Luke, two books more to the right. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luke 23.
Yeah. Where's your Bible?
Luke 23, verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. In this story, this is the story of the two thieves that were on each side of Jesus when he was on the cross. Here we go. You ready? Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On, am I at the right place?
23 what?
You said 23,
39. 39, one of the criminals.
Yeah, it said one of the
criminals. Oh, that's why. I'm in 22. I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. 23:39, there it is. One of the criminals, here we go. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now the question is, as we kind of close this a little bit, my question to all of you and to myself is, which one are you? Because you may say, I'm not a criminal at all, but the fact is these were two sinners that were by Jesus. So we're all sinners, the Bible says we are. We do things wrong all the time. So my question is, which one are you? It's something to think about all weekend and as Easter comes. Are you the one that's always like, God, you need to show me something? Like, if you're the Christ, then you can do this. If you're really Jesus, then you would do this for my life. You see where I'm going with that? That's what the one on this side was saying, basically. Like, if you're Jesus, why don't you save me? And that's how we feel a lot of times when we don't get what we want. And we're like, if Jesus was real, he would do this. He would heal this person. He would do that. The other person, the other criminal, was basically saying, I'm a sinner, and I deserve to be here. But Jesus, please forgive me. There's a big difference between the two. So again, my question is, which one of the thieves are you? You know, I don't know if you remember the story, but even when he was being crucified, he was forgiving people. He said, Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they're doing, which is just, it just blows my mind. You know, our response should be, you know, we have no shot in life of having, you know, a comeback story, a victory, unless we have him. So, and then very last point, before we show that last clip, is at the Last Supper, Jesus was with 11 disciples after Judas betrayed him. He was basically getting ready to die and leave. You know, he trusted the fate of the entire world to 11 men. Those 11 men. It was their job to pass on the gospel. Somewhere along the line, you've heard it, and it's your job to pass it on too. But the reason I share this is because a lot of times, like in school and work and stuff, around friends, we kind of feel outnumbered. And it could be a problem for us because we think, I can't really do much because no one else believes. The fate of the world was trusted in 11 men. So I've never forgot that ever since I heard it, and I hope you don't either. But don't ever feel afraid when that happens. I'm going to load this very last clip. This is going to be the best comeback story. And then after the clip, we're going to do one more real quick thing. Excuse me, sir.
Did you record our game?
Excuse me. Excuse me, sir.